apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. Jude begins his plan of action for recognizing, resisting, and defeating false teachers by reminding the recipients to stay true to sound doctrine previously taught to them by the true apostles of Jesus Christ. Unlike false teachers who served only themselves, the apostles were committed to Jesus. Jude instructs his readers to look to the teaching of the apostles rather than the teaching of those who only concern is themselves. Verse 18 tells us what the apostles predicted, that in the last times, people who scoff at and ridicule the truth will arise. The same warning is laid out bare for us throughout the New Testament as well. Acts 20:29. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare this flock. 2 Peter 2. But there will also be false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. And again in 2 Timothy 3, also warns of terrible times in the last days, where people will be ungodly, loving themselves, money, and pleasure. We are warned to have nothing to do with such people. Friends, just as the recipients of this letter were in the last times, we too find ourselves in the same era. The author of Hebrews, 1 Peter and 1 John all refer to the last days in the present tense. Since the arrival of God's Spirit on his people 10 days after Christ's ascension, an event we now call Pentecost, we have been living in the last days, and we will continue to live in the last days until the return of Christ and the completion of God's ultimate plan for our redemption. So after the events of Pentecost, the early church experienced a time of rapid growth and expansion as they shared the message of the gospel with others. It was powerful, it was productive, and it was life-changing. Looking at Acts 2, we see that early believers devoted themselves to prayer and worship. They gathered every day with each other to break bread. They shared all things. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who was in need. And all the time, they were praising God and devoting themselves to the teaching of the apostles. The early church was a vibrant and unified community filled with joy and hope. They were devoted to one another, showing love and care for their neighbors. People were drawn to the message of the gospel and were baptized into the family of God. But there was still room for things to go wrong. Recall what Jude wrote previously in verse 4. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. The early church found themselves waiting for Jesus to return. And a few decades later, the recipients of Jude's letter find themselves still waiting. And some people were using this delay as an excuse to indulge in their sinful nature, to live as they pleased. Verse 19, these are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. Friends, this is a clear example of how we should not be waiting. Jude describes these people as following mere natural instincts and not having the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2 tells us that the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only by the Spirit. These people place their own self-interest ahead and above the needs of the church. They think nothing of tearing apart the body of Christ. Although they claim to know the mind of God, they do not have the Spirit. Recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew is Jesus' response to people who wait for his return in this manner. In chapter 7, Jesus tells us that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. In chapter 8 of Paul's letter to the church in Rome, we see clearly again the consequences of waiting for Jesus like this. Reading from verse 9, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Jude has given his readers a stern warning. He has laid bare the facts that among the church, there will be people who will not be waiting for the Lord in the proper manner. He says these people will cause damage. They will divide us and lead us astray because they themselves do not have the Spirit. This is how not to wait, by following near natural instincts and doing whatever we want. Moving on to verse 20, and immediately from the start of this verse, we see a massive change. But you, dear friends, Jude is addressing this section of this letter to those who have the Spirit, who belong to Christ, and writes to give advice on the best way to stay strong in the struggle against false teachers as we wait for the return of Jesus. Reading from verse 20, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. How should we be waiting for Jesus? Look again at verse 20. By building ourselves up in faith, by praying in the Holy Spirit, and by remaining focused on God's love for you. The most holy faith being referred to here is the core message of good news about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for our sins. In his first letter to the Corinthians, Paul gives us a short summary of this most holy faith. In chapter 15, Paul writes, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Jude urges his readers to hold fast to the true gospel, which can be seen throughout the scriptures. While waiting for Jesus, followers of Christ should be building themselves up in the truth of the gospel, letting it fill them up, learning to appreciate the absolute incredible gift it is for us. Without the gospel, we are dead in our transgressions. But God, in his divine glory, has given every one of us who believe in him the ultimate gift of grace. We don't need to earn your salvation. The things you do are not going to earn your place in God's good books. Grace from God is given to you as a gift if you accept your need for Jesus in your life. We are charged to make the gospel the central pillar of who we are. Build your life around it. As said in verse 20, pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray that the gospel influences the way you interact with the world and that its teachings guide your thoughts, words, and actions. Let your most holy faith shape your relationships, your work, and your daily habits. Seek to live in a way that reflects the love and truth of the gospel and share its message with others. Remember that the gospel is not just something we to be believed, but something to be lived out in every aspect of your life. When you make the gospel the foundation of who you are, you will find strength, comfort, and purpose, and your life will be transformed. So how should we be waiting? We should be keeping ourselves in God's love. 1 John 4 tells us that anyone who acknowledges Jesus as the Son of God and believes in him dwells in God and God lives in them. While the false teachers of Jude's time delight in their sinful cravings and spread lies to not wait on the promises of Scripture, people of God should be waiting patiently, building and strengthening their lives around the most holy faith. While the followers and true believers are given their eternal reward as co-heirs with Christ, those who teach false doctrine are left to face the consequences of their actions. We need to be vigilant and help those caught in the nets of false teachers. Reading from verse 22. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. While we are waiting, we need to be growing our church to better reflect God's character. To those who are snagged by wrongful teaching, Jude instructs the church to show mercy towards them. Ephesians 4 tells us that we should deal with doubters patiently and with love. Harsh criticism can have a damaging impact, as it has the potential to drive doubters further away from the truth. Some may doubt, but are seeking and asking questions. Think of today's controversial topics, such as abortion, women in leadership, questions of creation, sexual morality, or gender dysphoria. When discussing these topics, we don't deviate from the truth shown to us in the Bible. 1 Peter 3 tells us to always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks us, to give the reason for the hope that we have. But we are to do this with gentleness and respect. While we long for a world that follows God's perfect design and hates sin, we need to listen, engage in discussion, and show mercy, because God shows mercy on us. Look at verse 23. Save others by snatching them from the fire. How many people do you think will come to know Christ if you show them no respect? Placing your faith in Christ is a matter of eternity. We need to encourage their redemption, not throw condemnation in their face. How do you feel when someone gets right up in your face and tells you what you're doing is wrong? Do you feel calm? Do you feel like you want to sit down and have a cup of tea with them? Do you feel likely to change your views? No, you're angry. You want to insult them back. You want to tear them down and prove that they are wrong and you were right. It's an easy trap for us to fall into. And again, we aren't to deviate from the Bible's teachings, but there is a certain manner in which we need to approach controversial conversations. And we are told that gentleness and respect is the answer, not all-out aggression. So what is the fire that Jude is referring to? Well, Tim Keller describes the fire as a separation from God. In his book, The Reason for God, Keller highlights that since God is the source of all joy, love, and good things, an eternity without him is filled with self-absorption and self-centeredness, where you get the separation you asked for and so desperately wanted, away from everything that is good. There is a lot on the line. We are reminded by Jude to snatch the wandering sheep back from the edge of the abyss before it is too late. Reflect on Jude's letter as a whole for a minute. A common theme is about people who have fallen. He reminds the reader of ancient examples of people who have fallen, Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 7, angels that fell in verse 6, and the victims of false teachers that fell, Cain, Balaam, and Korah in verse 11. We then come to verse 22 and 23, where we are told to go out and reach the people who have fallen. Show them mercy, gentleness, and respect. Before you came to Christ, you too were fallen. We need to show other people the same patience and gentleness that God showed us. We now come to the doxology at the conclusion of Jude's letter. Doxology just means a word of praise. After all the attention given to the ungodly and false teachers, Jude concludes by focusing attention back to God. These are very well-known verses, and I know that many churches use verse 24 and 25 as a way to close a service, as it provides such a powerful declaration of the power and majesty of God. So let's have a bit of a closer look, and I'm reading from verse 24. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Jude assures his readers that God has the power to keep us upright and preserve us. It can be a dangerous thing reaching people who have fallen, but here we have assurance that God will keep us. If you are in God, he wants you to be kept to the end, and he is able to do so. As Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? He foreknew us, predestined us, called us, justified us, and will glorify us. What chance is there that someone can thwart God's intent to save those justified by faith in his Son? He is able to present us before his glorious presence. Looking back at the scriptures, such as in Isaiah 6, when anybody is in the presence of the glory of God, it is a frightening experience because they know they are sinful. Someday, those who are in Christ will stand in the presence of God's glory, blameless and with great joy. We will be blameless because Christ bore our sins. All credit goes to the only God who is our Savior through Jesus Christ. There is no glory, majesty, power, and authority left for any of us because he has it all. He had it all in the past. He has it all in the current day, and he will have it all forevermore. And isn't that cause for celebration and something worth waiting for? The short epistle of Jude touches on many important issues for the early church and for us today. The influence of false teachers in society and in churches is an ever-present threat that needs to be our constant attention. While we wait for the return of Jesus, we need to be on guard. We need to be contending for the faith and building and strengthening our lives around the most holy faith. Today, over morning tea and through your conversations this week, ask people how they think this might be actively lived out. How can we as a church together work together to ensure our faith stays strong as we wait, even in the face of challenges and temptations? Encourage one another to stay vigilant, to hold fast to the gospel, and to look forward to the coming of Jesus. Ultimately, let us to continue to put our trust in God and seek his guidance as we wait for the Lord's return. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to offer our gratitude for your love, grace, and mercy. We thank you for the reminder in Jude's letter to wait patiently for the return of Jesus and to be on guard against false teachings. We pray that we may build ourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit, keeping ourselves in your love. Help us to show mercy to those who doubt and to save others by snatching them from the fire of separation from you. Lord, we ask for your wisdom to remain true to the gospel and to never compromise our faith. We give you all the glory, honor, praise, now and forevermore. Amen.